joy, and I can't have really peace. I can't experience peace in my life till I first experience the joy that he has for me in my life. So trying to conjure something up, work something up, get myself all worked up to feel an emotion, which we're all people, we all want to feel things. That's why we watch ball games, right? That's why we eat the foods that we eat. That's why we engage in the activities we engage. We are people. There's nothing wrong wanting to feel love, joy, peace, kindness. These are all great feelings. But what sustains us is it transcends just being a feeling, but an actual fruit that I'm experiencing on a day-to-day life, regardless of my circumstances, situations, and all that. And that doesn't have to just be this pious, theological, philosophical, oh, that sounds great on paper. But there can be a practical reality that we're living in, okay? This can be something that we actually live in. So one of the things I did when I was preparing for this, and you'll see it in your notes, is as I was looking at peace, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, one thing I recognize is the English word for peace comes from a Latin root word, which is what? Tranquillus, right? Which is where we get tranquilizer from. All right? So one of the things I got to noticing is if you draw a parallel between what biblical peace gives us, you will see from a physiological standpoint, what this actually can do to our physical body. For example, let me show you something. Did you know one of the a tranquilizer in medicine is what's called a CNS, right? One of the things it'll do is it will slow down the hyperactivity of the brain. You know, the brain's firing, I'm anxious, I'm anticipating all of this bad stuff that's going to happen. It's just, I can't get any rest. My mind's just going a million miles an hour because of all the stuff that's going on. One of the things that a tranquilizer will do is it will slow hyperactivity down in the brain. So tranquilizers calm overactive signals in the central nervous system. And the spiritual parallel is this, that biblical peace quiets the mental noise. Biblical peace will quiet that mental chatter that just going on all the time, right? So I'm giving you a case for why we really want to experience biblical peace. If you'll give me just a second, then we're going to get into it. Second thing that you will find that a tranquilizer will do, medically speaking, is it relaxes your muscles. Think about this. It reduces tension and stiffness in the body. It decreases the nervous signals to the muscle. So spiritual parallel here is this. Peace relaxes the tightness that we feel in our hearts, unclearing the soul from striving. We just came back from a conference down in Georgia with the youth, and they had just an amazing worship service in one of the services. And I mean, for lack of a better word, if I had to deduce the service down to one word, it would have been peace. And I did not recognize the tension in my body until after that service. I didn't recognize I had tightness. But after that worship service, all of a sudden, I was breathing 50% more air. I was just, my body, I mean, I was like jello in there. Just because why? The peace of God. There was an environment that invited the Holy Spirit to come in and minister to his people. Now, you were going to say something.
Just in the world sense, back in my day, it was called Mother's Little Helper.
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of little... Yeah, for real. Yeah, it can do that. Number three, it can stabilize. It's one of the things that's medically used, some of these drugs are used that have these tranquil effects. It stabilizes a mood. How many has ever been moody? I'm moody right now. Yeah, well, you know, that's their blood sugar taking over. Minimize extreme emotional swings, which is a sense of... So the spiritual parallel is peace. God's peace brings balance to our emotions so we're not dominated by toxic emotions like fear or anger or despair. How many know we need the peace of God in our lives? You know, one of the things I always loved about that passage where Jesus is just taking a nap in the boat... And he's sleeping. through what I and other people would be, what's going on? Which way did we go? You know, because there's a storm just raging, right? And, you know, I would have been one of the disciples, look at him, don't care. He don't care. If he cared, he'd be up here with us worrying. But he don't. He's down there sleeping. There's something wrong with that. But that's why I'm wrong. And that's why he's God. But when he gets up, what does he say to the storm? Peace. Be still. Now, I know you break it out in the Greek there. It's saying, be quiet. Right? He's rebuking the storm. But I find it very interesting, just as someone who's always tempted, I'm always tempted to just see problems, that in our translation, he never got up and said, storm, why you treat us this way? Storm, why don't you stop? Storm, talk to the Father. I'm serving you. You're interrupting what I'm doing for God. He don't even acknowledge the problem. What is it? He goes straight to the solution. Man, that changes my outlook on my prayer life. Am I focused on all the problems and constantly rebuking the problems? Or am I just saying, Lord, you promised me peace. So peace come into the situation right now. I release you. So he prayed to the solution, not to the problem. And so many times, I mean, I'm just Terry. And sometimes I just want to just name the problem and criticize it and rebuke it and get all lathered up and spiritually curse it. Oh, I know how to religiously cuss out a problem without ever saying a curse word. Bless your heart. Well, that's the problem. I mean, I'm a good Southern. I know to slap all kinds of niceties on some of the most ugly, ugly thoughts and heart that a person could have. Bless her heart. Bless his heart. So it slows our speech. And number five, it reduces hypervigilance. So, you know, when you want your emotions settled and your mind to stop racing and your heart can take care of God, what the text here is saying, he says you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So the access to this is keeping our minds on him and not others. It's being intentional with what I'm focused on, right? It's being intentional with what I'm focused on. So what will we gain from this series? This is what I'm trying to get out of this myself, is number one, in week one, what we're about to talk about is just a deeper intimacy with God. The third week, which will not be next week, we won't be meeting next week, and there'll be an announcement about it, but we're actually having a very special service. You guys will want to be to this. Next week, we're actually going to be meeting down at the Family Life Center, but there won't be any Sunday school next week. But coming back the second week, we'll be talking about practical tools for spiritual and emotional health. And then we're going to be talking about how to get victory in our spiritual warfare, and finally, empowerment for our calling, okay? So the prayer for this is what Jesus said in John 14:27, where he said, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So this is more than just a study, we hope. It's an invitation to live from a place of calm confidence in the shepherd who restores our soul. So let's get into week one. Today we're going to be talking about led to peace. Led to peace. Here's the big idea from this. It comes from Psalms 23:1-3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. So what's the big idea here? You can't experience still waters if you're determined and hell-bent on staying in stormy places. You can't experience still waters if you're determined to stay in stormy places. Peace is often found in the places and rhythms God leads us into, but we must follow. Now, there's sometimes we're in the right place at the right time and there's still storms going on. But how many know there's times in your life, but there's been times in my life, that I'm in a stormy place simply because it just feels natural to be at that place. Because that's the way I was raised. That's the environment I was supposed to live in. So that's what normal is to me. And sometimes what we've got to understand, he says he leads us beside still waters. He is leading me always to be in a place of peace. That doesn't mean that every place I'm ever in is going to be peaceful. But that does mean that he's taking me to a place of peace. So what that means is there are going to be boundaries that I sometimes have to set up that's going to make other people uncomfortable. It means that I've got to be mature enough and bold enough and filled with the Holy Spirit enough to kindly, politely say, as far as me and my house, this is what we do and how we roll. It might mean that there are people in your life that may not get the proximity that they feel like they should have simply because of their relation to you. Now, that's between you and God. I'm not telling you to do anything but just ask God. You know, and I'm not saying just because people mess up, you wipe them out. But you know who I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people that just irritate you. I'm not talking about people that just, you know, rub you the wrong way. I'm talking about people in situations and environments you know, because the Holy Spirit's convicting you, I don't need to be around this. And I tell you what makes it easier? Have some children. Have some children. And your tolerance level of what you once tolerated as an adult goes way down on what you'll tolerate when you have some little kids around you and say, no, they're not going to be exposed to this. You know, it's amazing. I have watched people that once, you know, well, that's just so-and-so, and he's always acting, and she's always acting like that, and that's how they always felt. And then they had that first little one, and all of a sudden, so-and-so, mom, dad, uncle, aunt, friend, family member, you can't act like that in front of little Johnny. And they don't change. So what do? Is your house going to be a house of peace? Or is it going to be a house of continued chaos? Because the Bible says in his Holy Scripture there that he leads me. He is leading me too. Now that doesn't mean they can't come with me, but they got to bring peace with them. Because anything that disrupts the water, they're not bringing the right spirit with them. Amen? So that means for me especially, it took some really digging in. The Hebrew word there is rabats, which is meaning to rest, to stretch out, to recline. It's the picture of a shepherd causing sheep to settle peacefully, safely in nourishment. Sheep are naturally restless and will not lie down unless they feel completely safe, satisfied, and free from pests or tension in the flock. Well, we're no smarter than those sheep. Everybody always thinks it was just endearing that he calls us sheep. I think he's got a sense of humor, because sheep are pretty dumb. And he calls us sheep. He said, watch this. Hey, boy, watch this. Well, Jesus, watch this. I'm going to call them sheep in my holy word. Holy Spirit, write out sheep. Because it says they sit up in the heavens and laugh. But the fact of the matter is, we're no better than the sheep. And if they can't stretch out, if they can't relax, if they can't completely and totally enjoy that which the Lord has provided for them, because they have a sense of danger, a sense of non-safe space, there's pest everywhere, there's tension everywhere, there's backbiting, they say there's tension in the flock. So the shepherd intentionally creates the conditions for rest. One of the things I'm getting older and different responsibilities, one of the things that I took for granted younger, now I'm not taking for granted as much, is taking that time like Jesus to just get away and be still. Quiet places. I'm telling you what, as you get older and your responsibilities are spread out more and more and more, just the ability to just get alone and hear nothing but God is a breath of fresh air. And if we, and here's the thing, if you don't plan for it, you'll never have it. If you don't put it on the calendar, you will not do it. Because there's always something knocking on the door saying, hey, this goes back to some business lessons, and I don't know why I couldn't transfer what I knew in business into my own personal life. But I would always, when I was coaching people in time management and all that, I was like, now where have you got in your calendar here that you're going to just rest, relax, study, and sharpen your axe to get better at this skill set that you need to move on? Well, I just work it in when I'm in between appointments. No. It'll never happen if it's not on the calendar. So, you know, it took me a while to figure out you manage your life the way you manage your life, whether it be personally or professionally. And you got to have time on that calendar and say, no, this is time where me and God get together and talk. So you got to do that because that's how you're going to experience the still waters. God often has to make us rest. He says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures because we resist stillness. What feels like, now this is key. What feels like forced rest could manifest itself as this. Has God ever told you no? Has God ever closed the door? Has God ever not given you what you wanted? Have you ever really, really wanted something and God said, "Nah"? That could be his holy sovereign self saying, no, not right now. You need to lay down beside still waters and just get with me. Sometimes that he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. It comes across as no. But God, I wanted it. No. Dead gummit. No. No. And I'm understanding in the scripture here, he don't come out of heaven, incarcerate me, put me in cuffs, and then sticks me in a green pasture beside a creek, Doug. That's not what it looks like. He closes every door I want to open until the only place I got to go is here, which leads to a green pasture and still water. That's how he makes me. He just takes the options off the table. Yeah, Terry, you got free will. You got free choice, but I'm going to narrow your choice down to this one. But I want this one, Lord. And I'm banging on the door and I'm beating my head and frustrating everybody around me. Nope. Right there is where I want you to go. And that's the only clear path I have in my life. And it's quiet. For me, the way I interpret it is unproductive. Well, what are we doing here? We're not doing anything. We're not putting any points on the board. And get real. This don't earn money. This don't pay the bills. That's where I want you to go. And then I start speaking in not the holy tongue, but another tongue. That's how he makes us lie down in green pastures. So the next time you're tempted to feel aggravated, frustrated, irritated, and all of these negative things, consider it might be the sovereign hand of God closing everything but this one spot for you to get. That's your green pasture over there, and if you'll notice, there's a brook right behind it. Pop a squat, son. No, I'm not. As opposed to this happy guy.
Not that you're not, but I mean, we're not unaware of Satan's devices.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not. Are you? I'm not. But within the Word of God, if you stay in the Word of God, it all irons out. It really does. No matter what's happening, it irons out.
Yeah.
He's true. He is the Word. And I saw him, and on his vesture, it said, Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I have to go, because I want to know what's going on. And with that comes like, wow, like the pastor that got crucified. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's so bad. And what's worse, but the guy had no remorse. And he was like your age.
Yeah.
It just,
you got to watch people my age.
But the Bible says how it's going to be. But, I mean, you have the happy, happy, joy, joy, like Larry Frippy.
Would you like me to darken it up a little bit?
No, you be you.
Gloom.
No.
Despair. Agony. I'm messing with you.
No, but still. You know what I'm saying? Some of us take that as, well, don't you know what's going on? I get it, you know, but.
Well, regardless of what's going on, the point is you should be experiencing peace.
Yes.
Because the fruit of what you consume is going to tell you what you're consuming. Yeah. If what you are consuming is bringing you anxiety, bringing you fear, bringing you anything, then that's not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean I can't see negative things in the world, like what you're talking about.
Right.
But it has to go through the prism and the context and the perspective of God's sovereignty.
Which know the Word of God.
Yeah.
His promises
are
always,
listen. A friend of mine, long-time friend of mine, lost some people in about an hour north of San Antonio, Texas, yesterday through a flood. Knows a couple of those people in that youth group. So that's tragic.
Yeah.
But this morning, she's worshiping God because he's still faithful. So the flip side of the coin is, it's a fruit, not a feeling. I can feel heavy at times. I can feel oppression. And even some tempted to feel different. And I'm not saying you're feeling that. But I can be tempted to feel that way. But that doesn't change the fruit that God is. If I stay on his word, I stay in his word, he gives me not some peace, not a little peace, not a little dab of do you. But it says perfect peace, complete peace. You know, sovereign, the number 7 means it is a mature peace. You know, an immature peace is I'm peaceful up until this point right here, and then you touch this, and all of a sudden it's Katie bar the doors, and it's time to panic. A mature peace says, I saw that coming in Revelations. I saw this coming in Isaiah. I saw this. Daniel talked about this. But I take your point. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's move on. So here are... It says this, so here's the biblical insight. It says, literally waters of rest is what it's talking about there. The Hebrew word there is machat, which it literally means waters of quietness and rest. Sheep won't drink from a rushing stream because they fear the noise and danger. The shepherd finds calm pools where they can drink without fear. And this might piggyback a little bit on what you're saying. We're called to be dispensers of his peace. All I am is a peace peddler. I bought into it. I used it myself. Man, this stuff works. And now I want to come over and let you consume it. Peddling is just a slight word of saying sell, but I don't mean it in that. I'm just being funny. But that's all. We are dispensers of his peace. But one thing... we all know it's common sense. I can't go, man, you should get some of this peace. And have full of anxiety, full of fear. Hey, did you see what was going on yesterday? The whole world's coming in. You want some peace? You ain't going to give anybody, because I go back to Maya Angelou, because while she's not a prophet and she's not in Scripture, that quote still rings true today. People will forget what you tell them. They will always forget. Words mean nothing. You're not, you won't, and when you leave here today, you won't remember a lot of what I said. It's just the way we are. Because words, logos, logic is dealing with the logical brain, and the logical brain can only take in so much. What you will remember is the way I strike Lynn. No, it's how I made you feel. Because Maya Angelou says people often forget what you say, but they'll never, they will never forget how you made them feel.
They'll also remember negative things easier.
Well, always. Absolutely. Absolutely. So the point is this. If I'm operating in peace, if I'm operating in God is my God, and he says I'll never leave you nor forsake you or have you begging bread, if he says, I know the beginning and the end, I'm the author and the finisher of your story, Terry, that if he says, there's nothing that'll ever touch you that don't have to go through my sovereign hand first, If that's who he is, then whatever's in front of me, that's just part of the drama that I'm living out. Where I get to say, hey, y'all, watch how God fixes this, because we are in it deep right now. But it's not a sense of fear. It's not a sense of, oh, me, oh, my. You know, buckle down, batch the doors down, because it's God is in control. See, disciples could have said, he's just a happy old lucky guy. Look at him. He don't care about anything. He's just sleeping. He's over there laughing, smiling. Because they're up saying this, that, and the other. And he gets up, and I'm not saying you're saying it, but I'm just saying our position is, I know what's going on. I see what's going on. Peace. That's it. I don't have to engage it emotionally. I don't have to take it in and allow it to control how I feel. Because at the end of the day, he is my peace. And he's promised me this as a fruit. Amen? Are we tracking? So, biblical insights, God doesn't lead us into chaotic environments. He leads us into peaceful places that restore our souls. And if we are in chaotic environments because of his sovereign will, then he's given us the grace to navigate that. Now, sometimes God does lead us in areas that they're special, if you want to use a biblical word, dispensations, where I am just in something and I pray to God and I pray to God and I pray to God. And God says, you're there because I led you there. And then me and him, it puts a strain on my relationship with him, not on his. He still loves me. But I'm like, why did you do that? And he says, to grow you up. And when you stop whining, you'll figure out why. And eventually I mature and grow up. And then he's allowed me, all right, new levels, new devils. We got that one conquered. Let's go to the next one. Right? Yes, I see that hand. Won't you come?
I talk to my clients a lot about
how do they feel about
the
it?
Rest that they get.
Yeah.
And the average is usually around 4 hours. And people need to think about sleep as peace. And, you know, I had there's a lifeguard at the Shelby Y that I had a conversation with. He was a young guy, 17 years old. And he was saying, we can get probably 2 hours sleep. That's all we need. I got this study. Now, you know, that's not, where do people get off on this whole thing? There's promises that he will make your sleep sweet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you lie down, you'll have sweet. This is all God's nourishment and peace right there. Is don't let people talk you into getting by with 2 hours sleep. You know, well, I can get by with 3 hours sleep. No, you need, 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah.
That's
one of the three things that drives, as you know, our feelings and our emotions. If you're emotionally feeling things, first we check our biology. That's our sleep, what we eat, and our exercise we're getting. That is a huge factor. We try to spiritualize things God puts in just practical life. Are you sleeping right? Are you eating right? Are you moving right? Biology, psychology, you know, how are we thinking? How are we processing things? Have we picked up some negative, toxic tools? Are we using parents and old people's paradigms that taught us a way that just ain't the right way to look at things? So our biology, psychology, and most importantly, theology. What do you believe about God? Is God God or not? Is he sovereign or not? Is he all-powerful or not? What's the nature of God? Does he actually care? Does he actually care? Yes, he does. Is he actually concerned? Now, there's a lot of people in the world, a lot of things going on. There's a lot of problems going on. Why would he care about the little old me and this little thing? Because he says he has the hairs on my head numbered. Numbered. Not counted, and which is, I'm making it easier and easier for him. But I mean, I'm convinced if he can count to three before it's over with, he'll get all of mine. That verse tells you that not only does he care, but he's intimately involved with your day-to-day life. He didn't say he has it counted that there's 3,648. He says when this one popped out the other day, he says, you know, number 332 fell out of Terry's head today. That's what it means to be numbered. That's how intimately involved he is with my and your life. So a God that don't care, a God that's not concerned, doesn't take record of the number of hairs you have on your head, does he? Don't reflect our statements.
Yeah, and they kind of go like, okay, well, do you really believe that God loves you?
Yeah.
Do you really believe that God is in control? Do you really believe that, you know? So our actions just speak so much louder than our words, and it helps us to go, wait a minute, something's not lined up here. I should dig in there.
And that's why I am of the opinion that we spend way too much time trying to address people's behavior rather than their beliefs. Because if my beliefs will get in line, my behavior will follow suit. Because the butt always follows the head. You know, now, if you're from Ruth, you can sometimes walk this way. But for most parts, the way I act is contingent upon the way I believe. And there is cognitive dissonance in all of us. We want to say we believe God, and we want to say that he is a good God. And to be honest with you, my faith level might be, yeah, if I have a $200 problem, God's got this. But if that $200 problem becomes a $200,000 problem, all of a sudden my faith is like, whew. You see what I'm saying? Our faith is tested day to day. You know, I am Peter. I don't throw rocks at Peter. I'll never deny you, Lord. Man, before it gets midnight, before Johnny Carson comes on, you're going to have already told three people. I don't know him. My name's Bennett, and I ain't in it. What are you talking about? I'm with you fellas. Because it's politically unpopular right now to be tied to me. So let's move on. We got to get out of section one here. So here's my challenge to you, three challenges. Number one, evaluate your environment. You know, to the extent God has given you control over your environment, exercise your sovereignty that God has bestowed upon you. You know, there's no reason why to live in crazy environments and tolerate in craziness. Number two, follow the shepherd's rhythm. What do I mean by that? Jesus withdrew to desolate places from time to time, which means is create green pasture moments in your day-to-day life. Take some time away daily. It's just me and you, Lord. This is so fundamental and so foundational, but I have found that as life has gotten busier, as technology has come on, as life is just 24/7, you know, media coming at us, everything that's coming at us all the time, you're going to be tempted to just be drawn away with whatever the narrative is of the day. You'll just be swept away. And if unless I'm intentional about, wait a minute, this is 9:30. 9:30, all devices go off, everything goes off. I'm right here, I'm quiet, and it's just me and God. There's nothing else. It's so foundational, so fundamental, you know, but it's so, in today's world, important. Number three, set up boundaries in those stormy places. Cut ties with the stormy places. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. You know, you're going to have to come out from among them. Doesn't mean you're unfriendly. Doesn't mean you don't care. Listen, up until he passed away last year, I had a father that I hadn't seen in 10 some odd years. Never got around him. Never had my kids around him. If he called me if he had called me anytime and said, I got a flat tire on 85, I can't, I'd have been there in a heartbeat. He's family. I'll take care of my family, okay? I will take care of my family. But as far as being around it, as far as exposing it to my... No, not going to happen. As far as me and my house, this is how we roll. You don't want to roll that way. That's fine. So what am I obligated to? The Bible says to honor thy father and mother. And he didn't say obey them. He said honor them. He did not say obey them. He said honor them. What does that mean? I honor the position and I honor the fact that they gave me life. And this is who God used to put me into the world. And to that extent, I'm going to honor him. If he needs anything and if it's in my power, I will get it to him. But that don't mean I have to hang around it. Don't mean my kid's going to be around it. Amen? So you just have to sometimes make those hard decisions. Here's some reflections I want to offer. Lord, reveal where I've planted myself in unhealthy soil and align my heart with the shepherd's voice and lead me to waters of refreshing. Pray in the Spirit, 8:26, is to strengthen and align your inner man. And here's a thought, just a prophetic thought I had. There are places of refreshing prepared for you. You won't find them until you let go of the places that are draining you right now. I felt like that's what the Lord is. As I prayed in the Spirit, strengthen the inner man, as 8:26 says, Romans 8:26, there are places of refreshing that is prepared for each and every one of us. But I won't find them until I let go of the places that I refuse to let go of that are draining me right now, that God's saying, don't need to be there. A child clings to a broken toy and screams in frustration. The father kneels with a brand new toy saying, give me that one and I'll give you this one. The child's refusal to let go of the old toy is keeping the father from being able to release the new toy. You know, there's an old saying that you've grown up with, God can't give you what's in his hand until you let go of what's in your hand. God can't give you what's in his hand until you let go of what's in your hand. Here's some scriptures you might want to read and meditate on. Isaiah 26:3, you keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. John 10:27 says this, my sheep hear my voice and they know them and they follow me. And Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest in your souls. So, Lord, lead me to still waters. Help me recognize when the places I run to are not the places you've prepared for me. And give me courage to follow you, even when it means leaving behind environments that feel comfortable but are chaotic to my soul. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Next week, we will not have Sunday school here. Won't have Sunday school down there. We're special service. You'll want to be there. We got a special service plan for next Sunday.
You said there was no Sunday school. Is there
not? No Sunday school next week.
Thank you.
We will pick up this the following week, the third week, okay? So just to be clear.